Hello, this is Barbara Peters, and I'm sitting here with Linda Castillo. It's Bastille Day, the 14th of July, and Linda's here on her first book tour stop talking about Shame, her new Kate Burkholder mystery, of which I am a passionate fan.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
You are entirely welcome. So this is now, I know, book 11
yes,
in the Kate Burkholder series, right?
Yes, this is book 11.
And we had a little chat earlier about the origin story of your Amish mysteries. So you were starting out writing romance and romantic suspense, right?
I did, yes. I actually wrote I wrote several books for Harlequin Intrigue, and then I also wrote some of the larger romantic suspense novels for Berkeley. And the process usually is that you write the book. You turn it into your editor. Your editor will do some editing, make some editorial suggestions, send it back. And I realized after writing several books, I realized that I was getting very similar feedback back from both of these editors. And they were basically telling me, Linda, these are romantic suspense novels. You really need to concentrate on the relationship between the hero and the heroine. And I think what they were basically telling me is that I needed to stop killing people. And I just, as an author, I just feel like some of the darker elements of suspense and thriller writing and police procedurals, that was my strength. And that was really the point when I realized that I was writing the wrong genre. And so at that point, I sort of began brainstorming. I wanted to write a breakout thriller. I really did. I wanted to write a big book, and so I did, started plotting, and I thought about it for many, many months, had a great plot, great twist, and I sort of, during this time, took a happenstance visit to Amish country in Ohio, where my brother-in-law is from, and I'm standing out in the front yard of his 200-year-old farmhouse, and I hear the clip-clop of shod hooves coming down the road. And so I look over and I see an Amish buggy coming down the road. And in that instant, I knew that if I took this high concept thriller that I had been working on for several months and I set that story among the Amish, somehow I knew it would work. I knew that that was the thing that would sort of push it into, a higher... higher, more successful type book.
And why was that? Was it because of the close community? What made Amish different than if, let's say, you'd seen some other community? What if it had been like Hasidics or something?
Well, I think for one thing, really, no matter what culture you're writing about, there are cultures are just interesting.
Right.
We just like to know, history and customs and how they interact and how they interact with other people, and if they have problems with people who are not accepting of their culture. And so the Amish, one of the things I loved about the Amish is that they're a bit of a close society. And I wanted to write a protagonist who could sort of immerse us into that culture. And that was how I came up with the idea of Kate Burkholder being formerly Amish. And having left the fold when she was, 18 years old.
Well, one of the great things about a community like that is it has very clear form boundaries. And so if one of the things that drives crime fiction plots, thriller plots, is conflict, then, you've achieved that because you've got a defined boundary and then you've got things that are going to come up against that. I guess my question was really, did it have to be Amish or could it have been some other similar kind of close community, but Amish.
Yeah, I think it actually could have worked for many different cultures.
Right.
But, I'm from Ohio, and I grew up in farm country in Ohio, so I sort of know the rural lifestyle, and that was tremendously helpful in, with the setting of these books too.
Sure. So you already had a foot, so to speak, in Amish country, and there was less. You know, it's interesting listening to your story. I've had conversations with Tess Gerritsen, who, as you may know, also wrote romance for Harlequin and
she
so
did.
Forth. And then, you know, she has inner darkness that, and of course she's a doctor, so you know, she too had moved over into surprisingly dark books for somebody that started out in romance. But it would seem to me that writing, for both of you, writing in that genre really helped you develop characters. Now, you have to ask yourself whether you could have written the Kate Burkholder, the first one, as successfully if you hadn't been writing romance.
You know, that is so astute of you to even ask that, because writing for romance, I wrote, I'm guessing, maybe 15 books between, you know, Harlequin, Intrigue, and Berkeley. And I really learned how to structure a novel, how to make a deadline, even when it's a tough deadline. And I'm a firm believer in that the more you do something, the better you get. And, you know, I look at some of my early works, and they're good stories. You know, sometimes the writing isn't there. Sometimes I, you know, now I would have perhaps taken the story in a different direction or maybe pushed it a little farther. But it's sort of a process. The more you write, I think the better you get.
Well, I think that's true. I am, you know, I've read lots of long running series, and I always look forward to yours, and I always open one with no expectation I will be disappointed, and I never have been.
Well, thank you.
You always do. You go in interesting places, you do different things, you move around, some like in this new book, Shamed. You take Kate out of her jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
and you take her down along the Ohio River, which
right.
is different country, and then the river becomes part of the landscape, the flow of the river, which I think is extremely good in this book, because, you know, there's a fluidity of morality in this book. One of the things that you're addressing in the river in its own way is kind of a metaphor, you know. For
you know, you are so right. There's some, you know, if you've ever seen the Ohio River, it's huge. It's murky. And, you know, when you look out across that beautiful river, beautiful water, lots of big, beautiful trees, you know that river has some secrets too.
Yes, and because it's so muddy, you never know what might be in it.
You don't know what's in it. And it was just one of kind of almost a symbolic thing as I was writing the book.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was. I remember when you took Kate to Upper New York State, you know, that was a different, when she had to live by herself in the little freezing trailer all the rest of it. And then, you know, it does give you an opportunity when she's not in her own jurisdiction. Tomasetti has a much wider jurisdiction.
Right.
And so another question in this book, you know, has to do with what's he doing, what's she doing, is he going to be active in it, and the conversations they have about the situation that everybody's facing. And then in a different authority, you've got the bishops, the Amish bishops in these communities who have made decisions.
Right.
And then, I mean, this is, as I said, this is your Platonic book. You've gone back to that whole question of who shall govern the governors.
Yes, exactly.
Which I think is, you know, it's an insoluble millennial question. Nobody's ever been able to answer it. If you put people in authority, then who and then looks after them? And we see in society at the moment, we're having a horrible moment with all that going on. And so, you know.
And, you know, it always intrigues me when you take, you know, you can never really generalize any group. But when you take a group like the Amish, they're generally good. They make good neighbors. Right. They're religious. And, you know, you start, you know, when they do something wrong, if they break the law, if they make a decision that no matter what the choice is, neither answer is good. And, you know, and I love ultimately the moral question. If the moral question, you know, comes about because of all of the things that have happened. And that's one of the things that I love about this book.
I like it too, but actually in your last book, you know, without giving anything away, you have a person who took the law into his or her own hands, and that led to some disastrous consequences, but it was another situation where actually far more clearly defined in this one, I think, that if the person committing the crimes had been allowed to continue, there really was no way to stop it.
No,
whereas
there wasn't.
It's a different question than what we have in
right.
this book. So it's there are different aspects of the same
yes.
conundrum. But you really like doing that, don't you?
Yes, you know, I really do. And it's also very difficult. I've got mail on, A Gathering of Secrets. And there were readers out there who thought that I handled that aspect of the book in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very interesting. I mean, they have a point, but then, you know, the other side has a point as well. And, not everybody is ever going to agree on that, so.
Well, there was no right answer. And, you know, as an author, you had to take a stand. And also, Kate,
right.
as the police chief,
yes.
then we come back to, does she get to make her own decisions
yes.
about justice? Or
that.
Does she have to stick to the, the law as she understands it, even if perhaps the morality doesn't track with the law?
That's exactly true. And, I really did struggle with that.
I can imagine. I struggled with it, too. I mean, you do put
yeah.
it down and think about it. This one, I thought, was more clear-cut but sadder.
Yeah.
So,
I think so, too.
But that's a good thing, because all of your books then end up giving us a different emotional charge when
yeah.
we read them. But I think you've done a wonderful job in
maintaining
your characters are consistent, but they're also evolving and their situations are evolving. So I'm hoping that failed to ask you that earlier. I'm assuming there's going to be a Kate Burkholder 12, or at least
yes.
I hope so.
Yes, I'm actually working on that book
right
now. I think I'm about 300 pages into the book. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that is really important when any writer is writing a series is, for me, to keep the stories fresh, make them different, explore different elements, take your character out of their comfort zone. And, that's really what I try to do with every book.
And you have to be very careful that you don't turn your Amish country into Cabot's Cove.
I know.
How much violent crime can there be? And what
right.
is, after all, a relatively smaller, it's not a big city. It is a rural county. So
right.
I do think the fact that you go in all these different directions
mm-hmm.
makes it, it doesn't feel like Cabot's Cove.
Right.
Even though you're probably statistically way over the line.
Oh, yeah. I've probably killed half the population of Painter's Mill at this point. But that is the beauty of being able to take your character out of their their location. I think that's, it's fun to do for one thing. And it's interesting, especially if you can go to a really interesting location, introduce a whole new set of characters. And so, I think that's a good tool for somebody who's writing a series to use.
Absolutely. So I'm going to send you off looking for Paul Doiron's 10th Mike Bowditch book, which is called Almost Midnight, in which he explores the rapidly growing Amish community in Maine and the boundary issues and other problems that it's creating there. So all of a sudden you have a new state to go to, maybe.
I cannot wait, and I'm actually going to reach out to Paul and ask him about that book, and I'm definitely going to read the book. I'm very intrigued.
So maybe Mike Bowditch will call Kate in as some kind of consultant. I know it seems corny, but in a way, it actually might
work.
Be really fun.
Yeah, it could work.
Because he is actually an investigator, so he could do that. Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming to the store, and thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Barbara.